You're listening to Empire of Rust, the first and greatest Transformers RPG podcast. Join the heroes of Cybertron as the last vestiges of Starscream's war take them to the far-flung colonies to defend the planet from distant threats and protect the Cybertronian Republic from the shadow of the Harmonium.
Welcome back, everyone, to Empire of Rust, the... Oh, fuck, I forget the actual tagline. Son of a bitch!
Oh, no!
the first...
Has it been that long?
The first and greatest Transformers RPG podcast. Damn it all.
are we supposed to...
Sloppiness is infecting you.
Woo! I had one job. One job!
To be fair, you had more than that, but...
Yeah, I had several. Welcome back, everyone. Empire of Rust. We've had a 6 month hiatus.
Yeah,
is that right? July last year.
Hardly feels like that, but
has it been that long?
About right. Yeah.
Yep.
Feels a bit longer with the pipeline.
Yeah, a bit, right? Big thank you to you, Matt, for giving me a bit of a break and a bit of a hiatus to kind of rest and recover and deal with life stuff.
Well
as
done,
it comes
Matt.
Up.
Well done.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wait, Matt.
You're welcome.
Matt ran a game.
Ouch!
Memorable as always.
Who's Matt?
That's what we were about to say about you.
Oh,
that's right, Mike. Welcome back. It's been half a year since you've graced us with your presence. It's
been quite a while.
How have you been doing?
Oh, pretty well. How have you guys been doing?
We played a game.
I heard that.
It was a fun game.
It was. Ridiculous, but I expect nothing less.
Thank you.
We won't spoil anything for you there, Mike, because presumably you'll listen to it at some point.
Yeah, I like to listen to it all at once.
Well, I see. Good news for you. It's all available to you.
It's all there, all 12 episodes.
Nice.
And Matt kept things super tight, too, so we didn't have to worry about any like upfront banter like I do right now. Just straight one-hour episodes. He's good at that.
Yeah.
It's mainly because I don't know what to say.
Well, congratulations, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, so what are we doing? What kind of game are we playing here? Is this a Transformers game?
I believe it's a...
Transformers murdered someone overlay. For political reasons, probably.
On top of a Starfinder framework.
So wait, we're not playing GURPS right now?
Oh, God, fucking GURPS.
No. No GURPS, no BURPS.
So, it has been a while. And I want to kind of jump in here with a little bit of kind of cleanup for the last episode of EOR, of episode 109. And I think over the last couple of months, you guys have made a couple of tweaks and a couple of small additions to your characters. And I gave all of you a ton of money to spend. And I think some of you have spent it on some pretty good things. Do I got that right?
Yep, shells and trees.
Mike, you're not going to get any of these in-jokes. I'm sorry.
I can't tell him what it is.
Nope. Well, you know what, Mike? Since you're new here again.
Yes.
why don't we start with you? Have you, you said you've purchased some stuff, and did you make any adjustments to WildStrike?
Yes. So since we got a lot of money, I used it on the highest personal upgrade that I could. So now I have a +6 bonus to my dexterity from that. And then I dropped down the +4 to intelligence and the +2 to constitution.
Now remind the viewers, remind the listening audience, what's the deal with personal upgrades? What can you have 10 personal upgrades? What can you do with those things?
Yes, you can have as many as you want. Right, Mike?
Whoa, wait a second here.
You asked.
Let me check
the rules here.
There are three personal upgrades you can get, a Mark 1, Mark 2, and Mark 3. The Mark 3 being the highest gives you a +6 to one of your attributes. Mark 2 gives you a plus 4, and Mark 1 gives you a plus 2. And they all have to be different attributes.
All right. So, yeah, you've and Dex, of course, is going to control, you know, how good you are at hitting and everything, or shooting and everything. So, yeah, you've just gotten even stronger.
I believe his armor class is actually better than mine is now.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yes, Dex also adds to armor class.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, it's a sexy jump.
So what we're saying now is Wildstrike is the tank.
I mean, he's Wildstrike is no joke. Like, you know, I'm not. I would of everybody in the party. Like, combat-wise, he's the one I actually respect. No offense to everybody else, but, you know.
And or lots of offense to me.
No, you've proven yourself pretty
good
lately.
I've come up in my game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Having more than 50 hit points will do that to you, boost your confidence. Yes,
Speaking of boosted confidence here, what about Sweet Spot? What's our Sweet Spot been up to?
Well, Sweet Spot has been, taking care of the diplomatic aspects of interplanetary relations between Cybertron and Velostron, as you do, you know, after a large political conflux. But if you're talking about, like, the stuff they spent his money on, well, that's a tale worth telling. The very first thing that I did was I got myself a brand new bumper. Made of adamantine alloy. That'll make it very easy to overcome some damage reduction in the future from other bots and the like. Or,
interesting,
I could be used as a bit of a battering ram to get through places that we need to get through, amongst other things.
Oh, man, kicking with you is going to be amazing.
Yes, it will. It's like a steel-toed boot.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Boot to the fucking head. Where'd that come from?
I think you had another feat you had to take too, right?
Yes, I did. I hadn't decided on that beforehand, but I have done so now. Let me just switch over here. I continued along the mobility path. I already had mobility. I already had picked up shot on the run, and now I have spring attack, so you ain't never going to be able to hit me.
And remind the audience what spring attack is. Is that the first time we've seen spring attack? Or?
Possibly, yeah. Mobility adds to my armor class when I am in motion. So any attacks of opportunity that I provoke, I get an additional plus 4 to my armor class. That's no big deal. But that leads you into the other feats that come along with it. Shot on the run allows me to take a shot as I'm moving. So I can do my attack anywhere along my movement. I can either, I can do it with the movement. Spring attack allows me to move before and after the attack. So I can pop out from hiding, I can take a shot, and I can get right back into hiding, full cover. And you know I'll get the movement to do so.
Velocitronian actually has the movement? No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I have found in my many levels of adventuring with Carapace and the like that the best way not to die is not to get hit. And sometimes armor class just isn't enough to do that. So remove myself as a target, and there you go.
Now, the big question is your AC higher than Carapace's?
Oh, I doubt very much that is the case. let's see. I have a 29. Both on EAC and KAC?
So, no, it's not, but.
No. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah. I believe Wildstrike has a 33.
33.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can also get a 33 when mobility is applied, but not until then.
Mm-hmm.
The other things I picked out were equipment based. I switched out the rifle that I had for an Elite Shirai rifle out of the Starfinder handbook that will do 4d10 damage, piercing. And
4d10?
Nice.
4d10. And is a sniper weapon.
Wow.
With a range of 750 feet. So yeah, that could be kind of useful. And the other thing I added was a melee weapon, which I have never used before.
I was just going to say.
It is a
micro. Who are you? Did you actually come back, or is this like somebody else? Like, I'm just curious.
I have a micro serrated arm blade, which is basically a micro serrated longsword out of the book. It does 2d10 damage. Since it is a mounted weapon, it will act like a blade on my arm, or I can extend it out and use it as a melee weapon. So I will now always be armed and able to take attacks of opportunity.
Clever.
Nicely done. Shades of a denizen on this one.
Yeah, just a bit. You know, a little bit of honor. Very little.
What about Magnum? Anything cool or interesting happen in the break?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I already discussed the feats. He took that as the small arms weapon specialization, but we already said that last time. I did buy a number of interesting things. I'm actually not going to say all of them because they're probably going to be more fun as a surprise. But he did get personal upgrades for both him and Pythagoras. He bumped up his wisdom to 24 and his charisma to 20. And Pythagoras was, I bumped up his intelligence to 22 and his dex to 16, excuse me. So those are personal upgrades for both things. I gave Pythagoras actually armor upgrade feat, which there's all sorts of wacky gizmos you can attach. And I'm still sort of figuring out what exactly I'm going to give him. I picked one out, which is also going to be a surprise. But basically, armor upgrade feat basically lets you... Starfinder has armor, but it also has extra gizmos you can attach to armor. And Transformers obviously don't use armor, but there's a feat that basically lets you allow you to start install a certain number of extra gizmos on yourself as if you were wearing Starfinder armor. So, and they do basically anything under the sun. Some things make you jump higher or run faster or protect you from flashing lights, or there's some weird ones actually. But a lot of potential utility in there.
Did you say run faster?
Potentially, yes. Yes. I haven't decided on that one yet or not. You know, but there's something called the long strider, which gives you +10 to your movement rate.
Do you know what Pythagoras' armor class is now?
Not great.
It's a very impressive 25. Yeah. No, seriously, like for a class feature, that's really good.
He took a feat to bump up. He took armor boost, which is probably responsible for that. Magnum is still 24, so...
Right.
Pythagoras is actually tougher than Magnum.
Well, better armor class anyway.
Right. Yeah. Well, makes sense. I mean, he's a little Magnum small guy.
Magnum has all the hardness and DR and force fields. Magnum got a couple of new toys. I'm not finished shopping. There's going to be some surprises, but there's a couple of sort of... So he got a selective weapon augmentation for... His barrier cannon, which is basically the weapon that basically does a blast, and anyone in the blast gets a force field for one round. That way I can sort of exclude one person that I don't want to have a force field, so we won't be giving our enemies force fields.
Well, that's good.
That's awesome. Did we say whether or not, because the force field is actually, it's like doing damage, even though it's like temporary hit points, does weapon specialization apply to that, or is it just the flat number?
I guess it should be the flat number, but okay. We can take a look afterwards.
Okay.
It is a heavy weapon, which I'm not specialized in, so it doesn't really come up right now. Right. Anyway, I mean, technically the weapon does no damage, and the barrier is a secondary effect. So, and I also got a merciful weapon augmentation for his regular gun. And another augmentation, which I'm not going to tell you about right now because it's going to be a lot more funnier when he uses it. And another extra one. I got two more weapons so far. One I'm not going to tell you about. The other one is the Singularity Cannon, which is basically a gravity weapon. You shoot at a certain you shoot at someone, and everyone, it basically pushes everyone apart around a certain point for 10 feet. So you just shoot it at some guy, and there's just they pop all at all in different directions. So you can clear like a 10-foot radius spot. So.
So you have a gravity weapon as your scientist that can pull things together, and you have a weapon that can blow things apart.
Yep.
That's awesome.
It's all about it's all about sort of secondary messing with the battlefield type thing. Yeah. And I think that's probably everything that's interesting right now that I'm willing to speak about.
All right, Pat, go ahead and wrap this part up. And anything neat for Carapace that was changed?
Yeah, one thing is like, and I know I had mentioned this at the beginning of the other one, is that I was trying to showcase all four of the different modes that the load bearer has. But the jet mode is like, it's not something that I'm ever really going to use for a while, and like, you know, and the benefits of it, at least at this level, just like they don't outdo some of the other things. But one of the other features that the class has is that you can specialize in or focus on specific ones, and that will increase the abilities of it. So like I chose blaster mode focus. So now when I'm using my combination points in order to like activate the abilities, they're all considered too lower than they normally would. So effectively, I can keep the level 2 going on constantly, and I can add the level 3 is now much cheaper. And additionally, that will synergize with some other class abilities that will be coming up, but we'll see those when we come up. And because I specialized in that one mode, changing into it is now faster because it's a more familiar thing. So I can now change into it as a standard action as opposed to a full round action. So that's actually very... very useful. Regarding stuff, a couple of the pieces that I want to get will make more sense if I have time to go and get them personally. So they'll be, I'll keep them as surprises. But one of the ones I did choose is I got a brain augmentation called an advanced weapon learning subroutine for basic weapons, ironically. And the reason I chose that is that applies to my natural attacks, but it also applies to my beast's form's natural attacks. So now my bite damage, I get plus 10 damage to it as opposed to just my normal plus 5. So now it's 15. So like my bite as a beetle is pretty nasty now.
Nice. No poison, no venom or anything like that?
No, that'll come later, you know. I kind of envision Carapace, at least going forward, is kind of like how the Zerg work, where it's just like, oh, I will defeat powerful things and then I will take parts of them and incorporate them into myself to make me stronger. But I increased some of the armor plating and energy resistance, so like my skin, my DR is like one higher and my acid resistance is two higher. The force field generator that I have is better. So instead of it being like a purple one, now it's a white one. So it's just like, it has more hit points and it recharges faster. So, you know, more hit points. And, I upgraded one of my weapons. So my ultra cold hail cannon is now an ultra cold hail cannon. So that does 4d8 damage. And I have a whole bunch of like weapon fusions, but that'll kind of come up as it comes up. I think that's it.
It's one big shopping trip for you folks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
The sky is thick with air traffic above Iacon. Heavy cargo transports, personal speeders, and countless flight-capable Cybertronians going about their routines in the receding light of the early evening. Mirrored on the ground below, thousands of Cybertronians stand in concentric circles around a newly erected grand dais in the center of Iacon Plaza. Posted in a tight circle, around the stage are heavily armed soldiers, some wearing badgeless holo armor, and others wearing the badge of Ironhide's new security wing. To the east stands Minister Zaron, wearing a sober expression, Next to him, Bulkhead, Wheeljack, and Ironhide speak together in low tones. On the western side, Windblade, Tigatron, Air Razor, and Rattrap all sit together, their expressions unreadable. To the north, a trio of bots that you don't recognize stand together in a tight cluster, their arms folded, dour expressions on them all. And to the south, an empty podium. Lying in the center of the stage is a single sealed coffin. Minister Zaron steps forward to the podium and the crowd falls silent. Dozens of camera bots and microphones are aimed towards the dais as he starts to speak.
Dear friends, it's been two solar cycles since the fight at Metalhawk Landing, and we gather here this cycle to honor the passing of a renowned figure, Aviacon. This controversial figure was loved by many, despised by some, but above all, respected and feared by his enemies. I counted him as a friend, as did most of you. And although his end was ignominious, no one can deny the effect that he had on Iacon, and, to a greater extent, Cybertron itself. We gather here today to remember Wolfang of the Hunter's Forest.
I was like, what are you talking about? That's awesome. That's awesome.
Nice. Nicely done.
And as we pan away from Wolfang's memorial, we zoom all the way over to Metalhawk Landing, to the building that you guys had your final fight with Starscream in. And in the last couple of days, it's been repaired, cleaned up. Everything looks nice about it now, all with a brand new sign on the top. Starscream's End Bistro.
Oh my God.
Maybe I could say a few words in his funeral.
Sure, go for it. So you push your way through the crowd up to the podium after Zaron is done talking, and Zaron says,
"Would anyone like to add anything to and speak on Wolfang's behalf?"
Somebody get a hold of him. Wait, where'd Magnum go? Oh, he's going up to the podium.
Friends and countrymen and Cybertronians.
Here we go.
And anyone who's not a Cybertronian who happens to be here, you're welcome to. Hello. I come to, well, actually, yes, bury and praise Wolfang. For though he had a chronic fear of rolled-up newspapers, his philanthropic work was well-known across the galaxy, or at least on the side of Cybertron. And I can only say I hope they have tennis balls on the other side, my friend. Anyway, we all grieve the loss of this valued and shaggy member of our society. I think we can all agree. Good day.
Zaron starts applauding and the rest of the crowd joins in. A ovation for Wolfang.
I will walk up.
Oh, this ought to be good.
You shoulder everyone else in the crowd out of your way as you climb to the top of the dais.
Mm-hmm.
Zaron gestures to the podium, stands back.
Way back.
Wolfang was tenacious, fearless, and his bite was worse than his bark. That's it. Thank you.
You hear shouts and howls from the various Yukarans in
well,
the crowd.
Well, that's a high compliment from a Yukaran. Because like, you know, most people, it's like, oh, their bite, they can't back up what they say. But his bite was worse than his bark, so.
Zaron wraps it up, and the proceedings end. Reporters come up to all of you, you know, want to ask you questions. They want to talk to you about your involvement with Wolfang, your relationship with him, any friendship you had. And they're, of course, trying to get more information about what happened with Starscream.
In case it matters, Wolffang's cross bolter is actually integrated into my left arm. So,
ooh.
I don't know if anybody would notice that, but it's there.
I'm sure the Yukarans do.
Mm-hmm.
Because don't forget, his cross bolter was actually his tail.
Right. Right.
Like show up to a funeral with a severed leg that used to beat people.
I imagine you get some stares from the Cybertronians, but like all the Yukarans, they understand what you're doing. It's like, yeah, yeah.
This is honoring him.
Reuse, recycle, right?
Actually, shit, that's what I'm going to name this thing. It's going to be Wolffang's Bite.
Nice.
That's good.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else for in the meantime, we can move on to the next section. Oh, before we move to the next, before we jump ahead, Magnum, did you do your astronavigation rules for your last level?
I haven't done them yet. That's part of what I was going to do during this sort of break.
Oh, all right.
I don't remember exactly what I needed to roll, so you could remind
me. A D20.
Is it like a computer's check?
Engineering or computers.
Okay. So it is a 24 computers, which I don't think is probably very good.
It is not. That's a pretty... Okay, pretty low roll. What'd you roll, dude?
3 or 5.
Oh, man. That's not good. But I will give you one more chance because you just got to level up on that. So I'll give you one more shot to get the track going. But if you don't make it this time, you're going to lose out on that one.
Is Pythagoras able, is Magnum able to aid for this?
He is aiding.
He is aiding. Okay.
33.
All right. Good. So you have one more success. You think you would need 3 more to get all the information that you want and that you need. Since you got a success, you can keep on going.
Okay. So 29.
29 is not going to do it, man. All right. So you got one more success, but it's just more and more information that you're going to be getting once the time is right.
All right. All right. Keep it up. So they'll be going to the library for at least a little while to do that. So,
okay, not a problem. Let me just make a note right here that you have 7 successes now, and there we go. Sweet. This is Circuit with your election updates. Following the death of Starscream, along with the revelation of his crimes, candidate Windblade rockets upward in the polls. Election day is in 9 planetary cycles, and her victory is almost assured. But a growing number of Cybertronians have become disillusioned with post-war leadership and are turning to ideological sects to fill the void. Neo-primalists and adherents of the Guiding Hand are gaining popularity. And there are even rumors of cults dedicated to Primus and the Great Destroyer. Time will tell if these organizations will have the same draw as Cybertron First. In other news, warships of the Black Bloc Consortium have engaged a fleet from the Galactic Council outside of the planet Freyus. This is the latest in a series of battles between the two stellar powers. The death toll has risen above the 16 million sentient mark as of this post-noon. The Consortium's military might is, so far, being held in check by the Council's war fleet. After the break, Techno Tulips, the latest craze from the steel savannas of Pastoris 6, and Botanica joins me to show you what you can do to beautify your hab suites.
One question that I had, because I had forgotten about this until I had re-listened to the episodes, is that just before Starscream died, he claimed that he was going to prevent something called the Harmonium. Did we ever figure out what that was and whether or not this 16 million death incursion is actually a part of that? Also, is that a large number? Like, for us, like, are there trillions of Transformers? Like, how, like, you know, or is that like, oh, there was a bombing in so-and-so and...
This is, I'll give you some, I'm going to have you roll for some stuff, but I'm going to give you at least the last question you asked. The implication is that the Black Bloc Consortium and the Galactic Council have been fighting over, a populated planet. And the 16 million dead is effectively because of orbital bombardment. So effectively it's two powers having this massive naval battle over a planet where shit is just falling onto the planet at this point.
Right.
And it's not specifically Transformers who are dying or anything. It's just the people of Freyrs, likely biological life.
Okay.
So that's the people who are dying. That's a lot for a planet.
Okay.
Planetary death toll is at another level when you start talking about destroying planets and things like that, you know.
Once you start introducing weapons that are capable of leveling cities, yeah, the death toll jumps dramatically. You can do either a culture or... actually, I think culture would make sense.
To know whether or not the...
Quick Switch mentioned the Harmonium, too, and we were planning on doing more looking into that at some point.
Right. So I...
Sweet Spot got a 20 on culture.
A natural 20?
No, dirty 20.
I actually have a 24.
I'll give you plus 4, Pat.
Okay.
Yeah, so, plus 4 for Nyko.
So that's a 32 then. Oh, no, Adam also had one. He added 4, so that's a 36.
Damn. Okay. All right. All right. You guys really want to know this. All right. I can appreciate that. All right. So, yes, Matt, you are correct when you said that that was also something that Quick Switch had mentioned. And so far, it seems to be kind of like the through line here where a lot of the major players of Cybertron are aware of something, aware of something called the Harmonium. You do not believe that this attack above Freyrs is necessarily linked to the Harmonium, because nothing in Freyrs' history has ever called it that. So you don't believe that they're related. It's likely that the battle between the BBC and the Galactic Council has just been, like, it just spilled over at that point and at that system.
Okay, so that's great. What is the Harmonium?
That you don't know yet.
With the 36, we don't know yet? Can we just, like, you know, if all the high ups, can we just talk to Zaron and be like, hey, you're the highest up that we know. Can you tell us what the Harmonium are?
Now you are.
If that is actually something you want to do, then yes, you absolutely can. But what I did is the culture check is pretty much like the research that you guys had done just kind of on your own to see if you can figure that part out. And it is not something that is really present within the Cybertronian infosphere.
Okay.
So you think that just the lack of that information and the fact that both Quick Switch and Starscream knew about it, you think probably means that there may have been some report or may have been something that was delivered to the council. It was not part of public record.
If only I knew a politician. Yeah, we're looking at you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'll have to give what's his name?
Zaron?
No, the security guy.
Ironhide,
yeah, that guy. Give him a call, see if maybe I can't get access to Starscream's press home records. If he's one of the people that actually knows about it, then it's possible that he might have some information on it.
That's true.
Okay. You go ahead and put in a call to Ironhide, doesn't go through.
He doesn't seem to be taking my call. Let's see if a voicemail will pick up.
Mm-hmm. You feel that it just, maybe he just, slid to the left and it's like, yeah, we'll deal with that later. Mm-hmm. If only you knew someone who was tight with Ironhide.
Yeah. All right. Zaron it is. It is extension.
Dial one and redial your number.
Ah, Ambassador Sweetspot. Good to hear from you. What can I help you with?
Zaran, I know these are very, very busy times for everyone, but there is something pressing I would like to research and discuss with you. I'd like to discuss it with you, but I need to research it to get more information to discuss with you what it is that I'm researching.
Very well. If I can help you with something, then please let me know. Do we need to schedule a time for you to visit to talk this over?
Yeah, possibly sometime in the next few days or next week. But right now, I do need a favor to get access to Starscream's personal data records, his personal computer files and such. I believe he has information on an entity or power known as the Harmonium that may pose a great threat to Cybertron. You haven't heard about them, have you?
Ambassador, is this line secure?
This line is secure now.
I'll give the thumbs up.
Where did you hear that name, Ambassador?
From the very lips of former president, Sarsfield himself, as well as one other. Who was the other fella?
Quick Switch,
yes. Who also seemed to be under the impression that the world of Cybertron was in danger from these folk. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I think you and your friends should come see me as soon as you can. I'd rather not discuss this over even if it's a secured line. I would still prefer not to discuss this over the airwaves.
Well, tell you what, we can be in your office within probably a cycle. Cycle and a half?
Make it a millicycle.
Millicycle? I am fast, but I'm not sure about the rest of my companions. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean.
Of course I know what you mean. This is a secure line. You can actually tell
me. I still prefer to do it in person.
All right.
As soon as you can get here.
Well, as soon as I can get the whole gang, I can get there a lot faster. You know that. I'll see you then, sir. Good day.
See you shortly.
I say good day. I hang up.
Do we have a meeting?
We do have a meeting. With Zaran in a millisecond, which I'm guessing is about 10 minutes. So let's zip, zip, zoom.
It's whatever it wants to be.
Well, I think that this is telling, in the fact that, one, he's willing to upset his already very busy schedule to discuss this, and is, two, not willing to discuss it over a secure channel. This is probably a big deal, so...
Yeah.
At least he's probably afraid of us messing around with it.
Plus, it might just further the plot a little bit. So I say, we check it out.
I mean, I'll leave once I hear that. I'll leave the library after our research and meet up with Sweet Spot.
What about you, Wildstrike? You going to join up?
No, I'm going to go back to Metal Hawk Landing. Yeah, I'll go with them.
I got a dump to take in that bistro.
You fly past Metal Hawk Landing and you notice they erected a plaque outside of Starscream's end. Here lies Starscream.
Or here Starscream lied. But that's everywhere. Oh!
Yeah, I'll go.
Plaques on every building. Here, Starscream lied. And Icarapus, I'm assuming you're joining as well, correct?
Yeah.
It takes you a few millicycles to gather everyone together and transform and get them to the ISS building. you get to the ISS building, land on the roof, and proceed to Zaron's office. You get there, he lets you in, closes the door, presses a few buttons on his desk. If you want to make a quick perception check, I think Magnum or Carapace would probably know this the most.
22.
I'd say I got myself a 30 on that.
30?
Yep, dirty 30.
Okay, dirty 30.
I got a 17.
17?
Magnum got a 24.
Okay, so Magna, everyone except Wildstrike, sorry, Mike, is going to notice this. He's pressing some buttons on his desk as soon as the door closes, and you think he is activating pretty much like all the protections of his office, like anti-listening devices. And Magna, you can definitely kind of hear like the static, like on all the comm channels. So you believe that everything that has been activated should prevent any kind of external transmission from here. If there were any recording devices inside the room, that's a different story, but you think it is. No one's getting a signal in or out right now.
So do you think if I use my comm jammer, it would make any improvement, or if it's already sort of already covered?
It's designed specifically to be like super secure. So you think as long as it's working right and no one has tampered with it, should be fine. But you don't know if anyone has or not.
All right, I'll turn into a hat and turn on my comm jammer too. I don't have an independent.
First Magnum hat of season 3.
Nice.
Magnum for the hat trick.
Zaron will kind of direct this question to Sweet Spot, but look at all of you.
What do you know about the Harmonium?
I know that it has bots that are higher up in the food chain, politically speaking, of course. Scared, as it were, or deeply, deeply concerned. I imagine that you are one of those bots.
That is correct.
He will go over to his desk, pick up a data pad that has a list of coordinates. Go ahead and make a computers or a culture roll. Anyone who wants to take a look at this.
Culture. I have a 29.
A bit tougher on culture, but still good.
I keep thinking that I'm awesome in computers, and no, that was Fisher. Anyway, that is a dirty 20. Nope. Not even. There's mine. Wow, that's awful. That's a 9. I didn't even make double digits. I can't even aid anyone.
Oh, man. I got minimum plus an aid, so I got a 20.
Nyko got a 20. He can give an aid.
What was your total numbers there, Carapace?
I mean, I had a 29, but that was culture, not computers, so.
Nyko was doing culture.
Okay, so that's 33 on culture.
And just 20 on computers, because
20 on computers. Okay.
Because Sweet Spot forgot who he was.
Not my bag, baby.
Yeah, sorry, Magnum, but the 20 on computers is actually not going to get you anything on this one. But ironically enough, Carapace looks at the list of coordinates with Nyko's help.
Oh, I've been there before.
Yeah, yeah. You recognize the coordinates are the coordinates of all Cybertron's colonies, including Cybertron itself. Now, the thing that looks peculiar about this is that there's one additional set of coordinates that do not correspond to any known colony.
Is it Roanoke? is it like the Cybertronian Roanoke?
That'd be amazing. with that high culture check, I will also give you a little bit extra too. You knew that back in the age of like exploration, 13 Titans left Cybertron to form 13 different colonies, all with a patron prime as like their leader. Each of the existing colonies right now is is either formed from like the skeleton or from like the bones of those titans, or they are titans that still exist on those planets. So Velocitron, you know, was founded by Navitas. Caminus was founded by, oh, I actually forget the name of the titan. The patron prime was Solus Prime, the god of the forge. I remember that, but I forget the actual name of the titan on that one. Division also had its own titan. So all of the colonies that exist had their own, again, patron prime and their own titan that was there.
And Starscream actually killed the one from Eucharis, right?
Starscream and Windblade, yes. It was a beast former titan called Chela, Chela. And the first time that the two of them got to Eucharis, they awakened Chela after like millennia of slumbering. It attacked them, and the two of them effectively like flew into its head and killed it. It's survival of the fittest, I guess, right?
Well, I'll talk to Windblade about that sometime. It's something I've always been curious about.
So kind of with again with that culture check, you know that there are other colonies that are not alive right now. There are other colonies that have not been, I say, quote unquote, discovered, but each of the colonies that were able to connect to Metroplex's space bridge do have, you know, an active colony on it. I guess the idea is that a colony that doesn't have an active titan or is not an active colony anymore is not going to have an active space bridge.
So are there 12 like active, but the 13 went out? Is it that kind of thing? Or is there like 13 active and there was the secret 14th?
You're not certain on that one. You think that the coordinates that you're seeing right now is either a colony that was up until this point undiscovered, or just has kind of closed itself off. Because what's happening is that these coordinates, you can kind of see the technical information on the pad, these are the coordinates that Metroplex's space bridge was able to connect to when he first attempted this. And these were all the colonies that, again, are active. But that last one, that additional one, it's listed as an active space bridge, but it is not a colony. Like, no one has heard of another colony.
So it looks like we have somewhere interesting to go. So that's great, but just knowing that there's an active space bridge that doesn't have a colony, like, why is everybody so scared? Like, what is it about? Like, this doesn't seem like a big enough secret that your current reaction matters. So why did Starscream care about this? Why did Quicksquitch care about this? Why do you fear this?
When Quicksquitch was exploring the galaxy, he came across information that pointed him in the direction of a dangerous and warmongering culture, a society. For the most part, I believe he ignored this as just kind of hearsay, but I think as he investigated and researched, he came to the conclusion that if this civilization, this dangerous mechanical civilization, exists, then the coordinates of it would be in the same area as the coordinates here on this list. Quicksquitch feared that the coordinates here were the same thing. Was this ancient civilization that dominated that region of space? And the histories he discovered as he traveled the galaxy all seemed to point in this direction. So rather than initiating contact with this potential society, Quicksquitch and Starscream both chose to conceal this from, one, the rest of Cybertron, with a few exceptions for the leadership, and the Council of Worlds. The fact that Starscream agreed with Quick Switch and did not want to try and get in touch with this colony says a lot. Starscream would certainly have been willing to try and get in touch with them and to try and dominate them. Much like he attempted to do with the Divisions. But the simple fact that he chose to bury this, and Quick Switch, one of our greatest, one of the Autobots' greatest warriors, chose to bury this, is very telling. Now, whomever wins this election, and let's be honest with ourselves, it's likely, very, very likely going to be Windblade, is going to be brought into this. And in the end, the decision whether to open up communications with this colony is going to fall to the new leader of Cybertron. I do not know what she is going to decide, but all I know for certain is that both Quick Switch and Starscream decided that it was a very bad idea to do this.
Damn it, if I don't trust their judgment. That's the problem. I guess I can't conceive, like, how bad could these things be that the other 12 colonies couldn't kick their ass. I mean, it's just like the Jasadi experiment, you know? Like one of those things where it's just like, oh, we put all the crazy people and locked them inside of a bubble. And then it's like, and then they figured out how to break the bubble, and their war was just like, you know, they were war squared. Like, you know, they were better at war. So it's like, you know, who gives a shit? Like, there's another warlike robot race out there.
It could be exactly as you say, Carapace. If the Titan who ferried this group of Cybertronians there was in fact a prison ship, they would have taken all of Cybertron's greatest criminals and put them elsewhere. And there they should remain. They should remain over there where they cannot bother us.
But how do we lose a Titan? Like, I mean, like, if the 13 leaving, like, who was the Prime that went with them? What was the Titan that went with them? You know? Is there a crew manifest of that?
It's got to be records.
Lost to history. Lost to millions of years of civil war.
See, this makes me want to do nothing but go there and just talk to these people. Personally.
I agree. Has anyone actually made contact with this colony? Or its ruins to see if it's even still there?
No one has. No.
But Metroplex has an active conduit to this place.
Metroplex received a ping back that the space bridge was active. Whether there is anyone living there is anyone's best guess. But the space bridge can make a connection.
Could someone from there come here without, like, Metroplex's permission? Like, is he stopping, like, numerous attempts from this place trying to get to Cybertron? Or is it just like it's never been even attempted?
Has anyone tried at all?
As far as I'm aware, no. There's been no attempt from whatever that colony is to come here.
Okay.
And I suppose that in its own right is kind of telling.
Well, there is one question to be asked. If we use it to go there, would they then know that there's someone on the other side and then be able to come back this way? And maybe that's why we haven't used it yet?
I believe that is exactly what Quick Switch and Starscream feared. Because, yes, if someone goes through and there is a civilization there, then, yes, they would be aware of us and whomever they wanted could come back through.
I mean, Quick Switch seemed like that he was preparing for something, you know, like, not like just preparing to maintain the status quo, like something to do with them was actually gonna happen, you know. It's like his whole goal, allegedly, with the Cybertronian First Movement was sort of get the planet ready for something to do with that at some point, you know. So he obviously didn't just expect it to just be able to maintain it being concealed, at least not indefinitely.
And I believe Starscream felt the same way. putting any kind of preparations into effect that could hopefully defend the planet if this colony does actually exist and if they did come here.
There's a part of me, like, I jumped ahead, I think, where I was just like, oh, so we just have to wait for Windblade to become the president, and then they'll get the data. But then I'm like, who's guarding the data right now? Like, who's the person that hands it down that says, like, hey, now, Windblade, you're president. You get to look at the president book. Where's the president book? Can we just look at it now? Like, is that what's in your pocket? Like,
can we... No, Carapace, you can't have the president book.
But I mean, like,
my president book.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's cut to the source. Like, you know,
Zaron would have access to most, if not all, of that information. Anything that Starscream himself did classify is going to be tricky to get to, because typically in a clear transfer of power, Starscream would have transferred all of the stuff he has access to Windblade when Windblade won the election. Presuming she does, of course. But with Starscream gone, the same thing is going to happen. So that information will get transferred, but now the actual, like, the people who are running the computer systems on Iacon are going to have to actually do that themselves to make certain that Windblade has access to anything Starscream himself has classified. But anything that Zaron has access to that most people wouldn't, he would give to Windblade or whomever won the election.
Well, I think it's safe to say that no matter what is going to happen with the information, whether it's going to be locked up tight until Windblade wins, or if it's something that we can gain access to right away, I think we need a threat assessment, basically, without exposing ourselves. So is there a way that we can travel there without using the space bridge?
Sure. These are the space coordinates. We just fly there. We just take X long. I'm sure somebody smarter than me can just calculate that.
Yeah, that is a potential solution. Yeah. But if you all do that, you will be exposing us to whatever this colony is. Obviously, I can't stop you if you're going to do this. I would highly advise against it, though. My recommendation is to wait until the election is finished. And if you want to go there, if you want to kind of potentially expose Cybertron to this, talk with whomever wins the election first and convince them that this is a good idea. This is what should be done.
And how long before the election is finished?
I'm sure you saw the news broadcast, but it'll be done in 9 days.
Well, what's the probability that this invasion force would happen in those 9 days? So let's I will go. I will go about my business as though nothing will happen.
At the same time, we don't want to go provoking, kicking a hornet's nest until we know as much as possible. As much as that's sort of what we do.
Regardless of when the information is passed down, a threat assessment will need to be made, either covertly or directly, with a diplomatic...
Well, maybe that's what is in the notes. Like, maybe they've already done it, and they're like, okay, there's a reason why... Oh, these people are fucking scared.
Maybe they've already tried to make contact in the culture. It's like, you know what? You're going to pay us tribute in X amount of time, or we're going to destroy your orders.
Yeah, or they could be like, oh, they're ravenous spirit zombies that can, you know, take over, you know, all sentient life that they come into contact with, but they just can't figure out how to fly yet. You know, so it's just like...
That's about as believable as an army of Spock eaters. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
We know those exist.
Yeah.
My recommendation is, as soon as the election is decided, then we can meet with the then president-elect and see what can be done. I do not like having this kind of the specter of another colony hanging over our heads. And considering that both Quick Switch and Starscream have proven themselves to be problematic for Cybertron, because of this information, I think that it is something that should be dealt with as soon as the election is over. If I remember correctly, didn't you say, Carapace, that you were going to head to Earth?
Yeah.
After this,
I'm gonna check on. I have to go back to Yukaris real quick, but yeah, I think I found a lead for something I've been looking for some time on Earth. So I'm gonna go back there.
Yeah, mind if I tag along? I don't think I can really stand waiting around here for 9 to 10 days. This to be. I don't do well with waiting, is what I'm saying. I want to do something. If you don't mind, I'll tag along with you.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's welcome to come if you like.
I need to replenish my smokes.
How about you, Flyboy? You gonna be in?
I might as well. Somebody's gonna keep you all in line.
In a line straight toward the ground?
All right, very well. What I can do is, if you are on Earth for the next few days, as soon as the election results come in, I can communicate that with you. I'm sure you'll hear from Metro Titan that who is one. But I mean, as you've seen, Windblade was leading the polls before Starscream's untimely death. So it's. Things are looking very likely that she'll win. No offense, Carapace, but I find it difficult to believe that Lord Scourge would bring an upset this late in the game.
Oh, no. I agree. I think he's in the wrong race.
I think the only person who could potentially upset things would be Ambassador Sweetspot here, if he chose to jump back in.
I don't like making trouble just for the sake of trouble. It's a job I don't really want right now.
Okay.
Besides, it's not like we just can't kill the leader of a planet and take over anyway. Hey, comrade?
The room is still secure, right?
Zauron chuckles and then just gets this uncomfortable look.
No one can hear out of character speak. You know, that's...
Yeah, yes, very very funny, Carapace. Yes.
Okay. Let's head to your cars and then to Earth.
All right. So with that in mind, we can say you, because Pat, I believe you wanted to head to Yukaris to check on Rex, right?
Correct.
All right. Just for simplicity's sake, because nothing special is going to be happening. I don't have anything planned for you guys over there. So, yeah, you guys head on over to Yukaris to check on Rex. Sorry, we don't have Rob here to give a Rex voice for you, but we'll pretend that he's here. Suck it, Pat!
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was a pretty good spirit.
You find Rex there, all right. Nothing happened to him. It looks like you dealt with that spider many, many days ago before he got to Rex, because if you remember, that Rex was on his list. And yeah, I think the next stop is Earth to track down someone that you're looking for.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay. You step into the space bridge from Yukaris. It hums to life as Carapace, Sweetspot, Wildstrike, and Magnum step through to Metro Titan, the Titan Embassy on Earth. Magnum, you recognize the immigration person who is standing there. It's the same person that you ran past with all the cigarettes.
Oh, no.
Damn, my past coming to catch me.
Fancy meeting you here again. Hi there.
Reason for visit and duration of stay.
Why are we here?
Sightseeing.
Yes.
We will see many sights.
The spot to see the sights.
2 weeks.
Many that they are.
2 weeks. Yeah.
2 weeks.
All right. Sightseeing, 2 weeks. Keep your noses clean. Move along.
Okay.
And you, Give me those cigarettes.
I think I broke his spirit last time.
Yep, you make it through immigration with no problems this time. As you are walking through the halls of Metro Titan, there are some vid screens on thereabouts with news feeds and programming from Earth, showing all the various things going on the planet. And some of them are like information primers for Earth as well, just kind of showing like, hey, because like, tourism has kind of grown a bit since then, since the last time you were here. So, you know, the do's and don'ts of being on the planet. Do stay in your alt mode. Don't step on any humans. And as you're passing a vid screen, a little news broadcast pops up. It's a human news broadcaster. This just in, a giant face of Megatron made of massive stones has appeared in the desert 40 miles southeast of the Cybertronian Embassy. Authorities are investigating who could have built this. Transformer involvement is suspected.
Oh my gosh.
In other news, the Southwest United States is still dealing with an unexplained shortage of air fresheners and turtle wax. Industry leaders have no explanation for the sudden demand. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Oh my gosh.
From the secret files of Teletran 1, Empire of Rust is written and GM by Michael Ordway. Detective Magnum and his partner Pythagoras are played by Matthew G. Ambassador Sweetspot, Councilman of Velocitron, is played by Adam H.U. The Decepticon Target Master, Wildstrike, and his partner Nyko are played by Mike M. And Carapace, the Beast Warrior of Primitive Eucharis, is played by Patrick Finn. Additional characters are played by Michael Ordway, Brandon Ouellette, and Charlotte Chapman. Outro narration by Derek Bixby. Empire of Rust is supported by the humans and networks of planet Earth, whose online networks provide access to libraries of sound effects and music such as Storyblocks, Zasplat, Blue Zone, Pixabay, Paper Yellow Music, and Dark Fantasy Studios. We are distributed by the Transmissions Podcast Network. Stay up to date with all the latest news and reviews in the world of the Transformers by going to transmissionspodcast.com or searching the Transmissions wherever you get podcasts. You can communicate with the heroes of Cybertron by joining us on the Transmissions Discord channel. There you can discuss episodes, talk to the cast, and download the rule set used in Empire of Rust. Teletran 1, signing off.